السلام عليكم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: وما أصابكم من مصيبة فبما كسبت أيديكم ويعفو عن كثير. صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الأمي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته. الله سبحانه وتعالى has given us the task to be obedient to him and to stay away from his disobedience. And He has also informed us that after one passes away, there is another realm, there is another life, there is another world, which is everlasting, which is known as the Akhirah, the hereafter, in which the obedient person will be rewarded with Jannah and the disobedient person will be punished. So the person who is obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, obedient to Allah ta'ala, if he is obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he will not be able to show obedience to all of his desires. A person has a choice in obedience. Either he is obedient to his desires, he does what his desires tell him to do, or he is obedient to Allah Ta'ala. When both of these clash, Allah Ta'ala is saying one thing and my desire is saying one thing, then this is when a person needs to be obedient to Allah Ta'ala. The mashayikh of the past have said that obedience to Allah Ta'ala, being successful, is very, very simple. Learn to suppress your desire when you need to. When Allah Ta'ala asks you to learn to suppress your desire, that I want to do this, I feel like doing this, but no, Allah Ta'ala is saying something else. Time for Fajr Salah comes, I want to carry on sleeping, I feel like sleeping, but Allah Ta'ala is saying something else. And this, my friends, this is also a habit and a skill and an ability. The first time a person steps on the football field and he has never kicked a ball before and his friends have taken him that, come on, you'll enjoy it. Then he finds it very difficult. Everyone else seems to move the ball around so smoothly. When the ball comes to his feet, then it seems as if he's trying to do this and it is going elsewhere. But if this person keeps persevering, then his friend said, no, it was the first time you came with us, it was difficult, come with us next week as well. Then within a few weeks, within a few months, he will get the hang of it as well. So this skill and this ability of playing football will now be under his control. He will still have to exert effort in football. He will have to run, he will have to be alert, but it will become much more easily to him. So suppressing one's desire when a person needs to, that no, My nafs and my desire is telling me to do this, but I am going to crush it for the sake of Allah. This is also an ability, a skill. And the more a person does it, the easier it becomes. That is why in the glorious Quran, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's mentioning spending in the path of Allah, spending in charity, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that the person who is spending in charity, who is spending his wealth for the sake of Allah, who is parting with something which is very beloved to him, wealth is beloved to every person, he should make two intentions. The Quran says this. وَمَثَلُ الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ أَمْوَالَهُمْ إِبْتِغَاءَ مَرْضَاتِ اللَّهِ وَتَثْبِيتًا مِنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ. The person who spends, the mu'min who spends for the sake of Allah, he should make two intentions. The first one, إِبْتِغَاءَ مَرْضَاتِ اللَّهِ, to gain the pleasure of Allah, to gain His reward. We all understand this. But then the Quran mentions another intention as well. وَتَثْبِيتًا مِنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ, to strengthen himself, to gain strength within himself. So the Mufassirin, the commentator of the Quran say, what does this mean? That because wealth is difficult to part with, it is beloved. So parting with wealth for the sake of Allah, a person has to suppress his desire for this. And this is a very effective way to build this skill of suppressing one's desires. And because this is, skill is so beneficial to a person, when he spends it, then he should make this intention as well. That I am spending so that this skill of controlling my desires, this ability of suppressing my desires, it is created within me, it is strengthened within me. Because if this is me, then a person is on the route to Jannah. Shaykh Saadi rahmatullah alayhi, used to say that Jannah is very close. Put one step on your nafs, on your desires, and the next step will be in Jannah. Meaning, learn to control your desires. And control your desires does not mean a person cannot fulfill any desire of his. The majority of things that Allah Ta'ala has created, He has made halal for us. In any field, whether it is food, whether it is drink, whether it is actions, whether it is places you can go to, majority is halal. And it is shaitan, it is only shaitan that makes us think that deen is so restrictive. I can't do this, I can't do that, I can't do this. But if you compare it to what you can do, you will realize that majority is halal. It is possible to list everything that is haram. In food, it is possible to list everything that is haram. Haram is alcohol. Haram is anything purchased through haram money. Haram is the meat of certain animals which can never become halal, like pig, like carnivorous animals. Haram is meat which has not been slaughtered according to the commandments of Allah. Haram can be counted. Halal food cannot be counted. So the ulama, they will say, these are the things that are haram and everything else is halal. That shows that halal is much more than haram. And you can apply this to any field. So, all a person needs to do is learn to control his desires when they clash with the desire and the wish of Allah Ta'ala. And a person will enter Jannah. So, I was mentioning that the greatest benefit of the obedience of Allah is success in the hereafter. This is the greatest benefit, and this is enough. If there was no other benefit to obedience of Allah Ta'ala and staying away from the disobedience of Allah Ta'ala, then this promise of Jannah and safety from Jahannam would be enough. This restriction in the world upon one's desires, so a person can gain Jannah. Every intelligent person will say that this is a bargain. You have to restrict your desires temporarily. Temporarily, 50 years, 60 years, 70 years, 80, 100, 90, 100. And afterwards, you can fulfill every desire of yours forever. Number two, you have to restrict your desires. But you have to restrict your desires in a place where you cannot fulfill every desire anyway. And if you can't fulfill every desire, then you cannot fulfill it to the highest level.
The person who follows no deen, no religion, he does not believe in Allah, he does not believe in any book, any prophet. So his motto is, you only live once, so do whatever I can in this life. Even he is unable to fulfill all his desires. Even he has this in that I want to do this, but he is unable to. Whether it is because he does not have the money, whether it is because the opportunity is unavailable, whatever it is. So we are being told to fulfill our desires in this place where we are being told to control our desires in this place where you cannot fulfill every desire of yours anyway. Whatever desire you fulfill, you cannot fulfill it to the highest level. And in return, you will get that place where you can fulfill every desire and fulfill every desire to the highest level. To a level which you did not even imagine in this world. أعددت لعبادي الصالحين ما لا عين رأت ولا أذن سمعت ولا خطر على قلب بشر. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam released from Allah ta'ala that I have prepared for my pious servants, for my obedient servants, what? ما لا عين رأت, that which no eye has seen. ولا أذن سمعت, that which no ear has heard of. ولا خطر على قلب بشر, such enjoyments, that the thought of these has not crossed the person's mind and his imagination. So that means in Jannah a person will be able to fulfill one's desire to a level beyond his current imagination. For what? That a person has to restrict his desires temporarily. So it is a bargain. And every person will agree it is a bargain. That is why the Quran says, it mentions that the people of Jannah being granted Jannah. It says, أَلَّذِينَ يَرِثُونَ الْفِرْدَوْسِ. These are the people who will inherit Jannah. Who will inherit Jannah al-Firdaws. What is inheritance? Inheritance is that wealth that comes to you without you having to lift a finger. Someone else became ill, someone else passed away, and you got the money. Inheritance is that wealth which comes to you which does not require any effort. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says regarding the people who enter Jannah that they will inherit Jannah, meaning they will gain Jannah without any effort. But the question is, they do make effort. We do have to make effort to enter Jannah. So what does it mean we will inherit Jannah? We will gain Jannah for free? The answer is very simple. Compared to the effort that we are required to do, the reward of Jannah is so great that it is as if we are getting it for free. To us right now, the effort seems very difficult. When a person sees Jannah, then he will realize the effort was nothing. So if the reward of the hereafter was the only thing that was promised to us, that would be enough. But the obedience of Allah and the staying away from his disobedience has another benefit as well, another very great benefit, which is that it affects our worldly life as well. The obedience of Allah adds barakah, blessings to an action, to a task, to our life. And the disobedience of Allah removes barakah, removes blessings from a task, from an action, from our life. من عمل صالحا من ذكر أو أنثى وهو مؤمن فلنحيينه حياة طيبة. Whoever has iman and with that he does good deeds, he is obedient to Allah, then فلنحيينه حياة طيبة, we will give him a good life. We will give him a life full of barakah, full of blessings, full of mercy. His tasks will be easy for him. When he undergoes something and he does it according to the obedience of Allah, Allah Ta'ala will make it easy for him. The disobedience of Allah has the effect. In any task, if you want an example to understand the disobedience of Allah, it is like you have a bucket of water and one drop of urine, one drop of blood goes inside. That entire bucket is useless. It has to be thrown away. So, the disobedience of Allah can destroy barakah in the same manner. And many a times we adopt the disobedience of Allah in some task of ours for worldly benefit. We think, here if I twist my words, if I lie, I'm going for an interview for a job. So this is what my CV is, but if I twist my words, if I lie, if I exaggerate a bit here, it will be easier for me to get the job. I will benefit. I am selling this item. This is my shop. If I exaggerate a bit here, if I twist a bit, you know, hide a bit of the truth, I will benefit. This is my bank account. This is the amount of money coming in. There is this much percentage of interest. If I take this percentage of interest as well, I will benefit. So, on paper you may benefit. Because I lied there, I managed to get that job, now I'm earning this much. Because I had this exam in university and I somehow cheated. I played against the rules. This is the disobedience of Allah as well. Because when you enter university, you have agreed, you have made an agreement to fulfill the rules of the university. And breaking an agreement is against the obedience of Allah. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِأَمَانَاتِهِمْ وَعَهْدِهِمْ رَاعُونَ One of the qualities of the believers is that if anyone gives them an amana, a trust, something to look after, and if anyone makes an agreement with them, then they fulfill it properly. So if a person, for a university exam, he breaks the rules, he twists, with this intention that I will benefit, I will pass this exam, as a result I will get this degree as a result. Then he, on paper, he will benefit. But the barakah that is lost because of the disobedience of Allah means in the long run he will suffer. The disobedience of Allah has this effect. And we don't even realize. We manage what we did through the disobedience of Allah. We manage to sell that item. We gain that extra money. We pass that exam. These are just examples. Apply to any task. And then afterwards, when it goes downhill, then we don't even realize that it was because of the disobedience of Allah that I carried out back then. That the barakah was lost. As a result, there is this downturn in my task. Imam Ibn Sirin, rahmatullahi alayhi, tabi'i. Someone mentions that Imam Ibn Sirin, rahmatullahi alayhi, he said to me that at the moment I have a lot of debt on my head. At the moment, I have a lot of debt on my head. And the reason for this is because 40 years ago, how many years? 40 years ago, there was a person who was bankrupt, who was poor, who had a lot of money, and then he must have been overcome with debt. And I said to him, oh, bankrupt person. I insulted him 40 years ago. And he said that I'm seeing the effects of that now, that I'm, oh, Allah Ta'ala, as a result, he is punishing me that I am overcome with debt. So Imam Ibn Sirin rahmatullahi was a very great tabi'i. That was probably one of the few mistakes he did in his life. So when this person, he went and narrated this to Abu Sulaiman al-Darani rahmatullahi, another tabi'i, then Abu Sulaiman al-Darani rahmatullahi said that Imam Ibn Sirin rahmatullahi was able to spot that this problem, this adversity was from Allah Ta'ala because of the sin he did. Because he has so few sins in his life. So he realized that this is the adversity is because of that one sin. And our lives are full of the disobedience of Allah. So wherever there is adversity, it is because of one of the disobedience of Allah, but we cannot connect the dots. Hazrat Mullah Shafi Ali Thani rahmatullahi, very, very great alim. Very great alim and a very pious personality. But the disobedience of Allah, when it these people that come into disobedience to Allah? Rarely. And even then, it is usually very minor. So this is Maulana Shafi'i Thani Rahmatullah, very great alim and very, very knowledgeable as well. And he was, he part of his timetable was writing books, dini books, answering questions of people in written form. So he had a slot, 1 hour, 2 hours, whatever it was on a daily basis. So he would sit down to write at that time. And one day, his wife, she was going to visit the in-laws. So she said to Hazrat Maulana Shafi'i Thani Rahmatullah, look, the chickens that are in the house, which I usually give them the grain. Today I will not be here at the time that grain needs to be given to them. So you will have to carry out this task. Hazrat Maulana Shafi'i Thani Rahmatullah said, okay. She went on her way. Now Hazrat Maulana Shafi'i Thani Rahmatullah, this task was not part of his timetable. He did not usually do it, so he forgot. It escaped his memory. The time came to write. His time of writing came. He sat down to write. He opened the books of tafsir with the intention to write. And he realized that my mind is blank. I am not able to write. This mind, this intellect is fully in the control of Allah Ta'ala. A person should never ever, due to his intellect, become proud that I am so intelligent. Whenever Allah Ta'ala wants, he can switch this off. And from time to time, Allah Ta'ala does it for every intelligent person and he makes a silly mistake. What is the purpose of this silly mistake is from Allah Ta'ala. And it has a benefit. The benefit is that this intelligent person realizes that this intellect is not in my control, it is in the control of Allah Ta'ala. So ilm, knowledge, intellect, it is in the control of Allah Ta'ala. Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah, a very great alim. He has left. Well, some people have counted his writings and the works he has left for the Ummah, and they have said it totals to over 1,000. Over 1,000. Imagine how much knowledge he must have had. But he sits down to write and his mind is blank. He cannot write. So he thinks that maybe it is the case that in the field of tafsir, explanation of the Quran, my mind is blank, so let me engage myself with some other tasks. So he put away the books of tafsir and he opened the questions about masail that people had said. But he tried to answer them. He realized that my mind is blank here as well. He thought, let me change the topic as well, and he pulled out something. My mind is blank as well. So he realized that my mind is blank, this is from Allah Ta'ala. So he began thinking, what is it that I have done because of which Allah Ta'ala is preventing me from doing this task? And he thought, and Allah Ta'ala put it in his mind that those chickens which you were given the responsibility to feed and you did not feed them, so they are hungry because of you, so they are in inconvenience because of you. Because of this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not letting you carry out this task. So there must be so many disobedience of Allah in our life that we don't pay a second thought. We think we do it for our benefit, and it haunts us down the line, but we don't realize. So let us make it a purpose that I will never ever carry out the disobedience of Allah, even if I see loss in it. Even if I see that staying away from the disobedience of Allah, I will incur a loss. When a person adopts the obedience of Allah and shuns the disobedience of Allah, it always happens that initially it seems like there is a loss. This is exactly the test from Allah Ta'ala. That initially it seems like I was unable to fulfill that desire. I was unable to gain that extra wealth. So and so person insulted me. My status has decreased in the eyes of people because I followed the deen of Allah Ta'ala. In the eyes of my friends, in the eyes of my friend circle, because they were going to carry out the disobedience of Allah. I said, no, I am not ready to do that. So I have lost something. I have lost popularity. I have lost money. I have lost enjoyment. I have lost relaxation. This initially carrying out the obedience of Allah, a person always takes a hit. This is a test from Allah Ta'ala. Initially, the disobedience of Allah always feels difficult. And initially, the disobedience of Allah is always very sweet and enjoyable. But down the line, it is the opposite. That the enjoyment and the benefit of the obedience of Allah is felt. And it is much greater than the loss. And the harm and the loss of the disobedience of Allah is felt. And it is much greater than that small benefit that a person gained. What does Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say about interest? Inna riba wa in kathur. Interest, even if it is a large amount. A person gains a large amount of interest from somewhere. فَإِنَّ عَاقِبَتَهُ تَصِيرُ إِلَىٰ قَلْ Its outcome, its end result will always be decrease, loss. So today you thought my business is booming because of that interest-based loan, because of it that I was able to invest £100,000 in the business. But sooner or later, a person will incur a loss greater than that benefit. And if he is lucky, if the fadl and the mercy of Allah Ta'ala is with him, he will connect the dots that this is because I did that before. And then he will be given the tawfiq to repent. And if he is unfortunate, then he will not be able to connect the dots. And he will think it is just a problem randomly that came. It is not a problem randomly that came. Nothing that happens in the world is a coincidence. Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah says, when we say something is a coincidence, it just happened at this time. That is from our point of view. From the point of view of Allah, nothing is a coincidence. It is a plan. When it is a plan, there is a wisdom and there is a reason behind it. So, let us make this a purpose that I am going to avoid the smallest of the disobedience of Allah, even if I incur a loss. Because I will definitely benefit in the hereafter. And inshallah, I will benefit in this world as well. Yes, may have to take the initial hit. Initially, there will be a test from Allah Ta'ala. But inshallah, I will definitely benefit. May Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq to empty our lives of the disobedience of Allah. Ameen wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Subhanallah wa bihamdi. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Jazakumullahu khairan.